Your company is exploring how to capitalize on AI capabilities and unlock the potential of Hedita. I'm your host, Alexandra Britova, and you're listening to a series of interviews by Neurons Lab executives and subject matter experts uncover real-world examples of how companies are harnessing the power of AI to drive innovation and impact. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Alex Honchar, Director of AI Engineering and partner at Neurons Lab. Together, we'll explore the current enterprise AI landscape. Drawing on Alex's experience building science-heavy products for the last 10 years, we'll talk about real-world case studies, emerging best practices, and risk factors for organizations pursuing these tools. Alex, it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you for inviting and happy to be here.
Awesome. So, Alex, can you tell us a bit about how you see the AI landscape in terms of different companies out there? How do they all respond to generative AI revolution now?
Well, to answer this question a little bit more in a structured way, I want to use the structure that is proposed by NFX. This is the venture capital investment firm, and they define 5-level AI spectrum. When the first level is the companies that just use AI to be more efficient, basically the bare minimum using different chatbots. And the second stage, it's called AI product extension. So you already use AI and data as a lock-in mechanism. It's already becoming important to your company, but you still don't really own your own AI algorithms. At the third stage, it's called AI enabled. This is where you already start using embedded algorithms. You train your own models on your own data and own all the infrastructure for it. At the fourth stage, AI is becoming your main product. So basically, it's not just a business that is enabled or enhanced by AI. This is the AI is a product. And the fifth stage, again, how NFX is defining it, is AI first company. Everything the company does is impossible without generative AI. And I propose that today we make a discussion around those 5 levels. And answering your question, how companies respond to the AI revolution, they can respond on any of those levels. It is good that you show your teammates, your employees, how to use different chatbots, different AI tools. This is level one. And also, it's great to start a new company or completely transform your company to be level 5 and make AI the core of your product and your company at all.
Why would you think companies are trying to use more and more generative AI on each of those levels of the spectrum?
It's an interesting case because the AI revolution is coming from the consumer side, first of all. So I think we all can more or less agree that generative AI revolution started with the release of ChatGPT, which was available first to the, not to the companies, not to the enterprises, but to the regular consumers like us. And this is impacting a lot how and why companies are using it. So since it's less tailored to the specific business processes now and more towards the consumer interaction, companies are using it mainly for the sales, marketing, personalization, some kind of internal knowledge communication, etc. So it's much more tailored now to single person communication to a computer in the using the simple natural language, and it simplifies the barriers. So if before, as the customer or as an employee, you had to talk to the expert, typically white collar job. Now you can talk to the AI, which you can handle many knowledge of the expertise the same way or even better than humans, communicate sometimes even better, faster, cheaper, more complete. So this is where the companies are using generative AI the most.
Will there be any difference in approaches and tools that will be needed at each level of the spectrum? For example, will it be possible to use some ChatGPT-like models at earlier stages?
Yeah, so at earlier stages, you can easily use ChatGPT, Anthropic, Bard from Google, what you like, and just to enable it for a like P2P conversation. So every of your teammates can use this chatbot to answer the questions. The deeper you go, the more you think about the questions like, for example, security. They want to give your data to OpenAI. So maybe at the level 2, you already have to use a bit more secure connection. You want to use enterprise solution, for example, from Amazon. At the level 3, you're thinking, okay, I use a secure solution. I use my data, but now I want to be modeled really, really tailored to my knowledge, tailored to my metrics. And you start training your own model, which is level 3. Okay, level 4, okay, you have your own model, your own data, but now you want to scale, enable other business functions. You want to scale it across your company, your customers, etc. So your company is becoming more and more AI as a product. And then you might become even AI-first company in the end. But yeah, you definitely can start, and that's how most individuals and companies do with chatbots.
That's very interesting, but not the ultimate goal for most of the companies, right?
No. It's like there are many businesses that shouldn't become AI first. For example, you can be in healthcare, finance, logistics, entertainment company, and you can still stay on first 3-4 layers without any problem.
Let's now dive deeper into what are some of the more specific applications of generative AI for each level of the spectrum. Could you give some examples?
For example, if you talk about the level number one, and let's talk about marketing, you can use any kind of chatbot to be able to draft your marketing campaigns, or to create the first draft of an article, or just what you're going to do with this article. We're going to transcribe our conversation to an article, into the blog post. And you can use free or really inexpensive available tools on the market. You don't need to even bring your own data. If our conversation doesn't have any proprietary knowledge, you can even use it with the public models for free. This is example number one. Example number two is that, for example, we are going to talk about something sensitive. And we would like to analyze this conversation, store it somewhere using AI, so it saves us time. But we don't want to use free models or cheap models. We want to have our own. We can use, for example, Amazon solutions, their Bedrock, to have similar experience, but it will be already our proprietary server, proprietary experience. And we can be sure that what we do with AI is safe and our data is protected. The next stage, and let's even keep talking about this marketing example, just as a kind of streamlined example. At the third stage, for example, okay, we are talking, we are transcribing this text, everything is secure. But now what we want to do, we want to generate more articles that are in the style of our conversation. So actually, what do we need to do for this? We need to record many conversations like we do right now, store this data securely, use a secure AI model, train a model on our conversations to be able to create new conversations for us. This is third level, AI enabled. So we already have our own algorithm at the core trained on our data, and we can use it for the marketing function that we have. So now we can create many blogs, many articles, many conversations really fast and on scale. If you're talking about the fourth stage, for example, what it could be do, let's say having this success with marketing, we want to create a product for other marketers. So now we ensure that we have a good and scalable cloud infrastructure. We need to build a toolkit so other people can bring their own conversations, their own content, and we can retrain our model on their content and create articles for them. So now AI is becoming a product. So we don't just use it for our internal purposes, but we basically, this is what we sell. We sell AI to train on conversations, to generate blog posts. And at the very last stage, we can do everything with AI. We will start doing with the voice conversations, text conversations, video conversations. We'll be automatically publishing it on different blog platforms. And this is becoming AI for blogs. So this is how we can start with ChatGPT and end up with completely new even industry.
To focus more on this, what would you say are the main sources of stress when dealing with the generative AI applications at each level of the spectrum?
The problem is that people and entrepreneurs and product managers and managers in general, they sometimes confuse these levels. And what they really do, let's say they operate on the second level. For example, they use Amazon Bedrock to process their data, but they advertise it and market it to the general audience or their own employees as AI first solution, which is not true. And this is why many startups, this is how they get killed. If you maybe remember, a couple of months ago, there were many startups in the umbrella of chat with your PDF. So basically, there were many companies where you can, for some price, upload your PDF, and it's going to process your documents, and you can talk to them. You can ask questions about your knowledge base, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, this is built-in feature in ChatGPT. So basically, you can do it for free or very cheaply. And many startups got killed because of this. And the problem is that they don't have anything proprietary, they have proprietary data, they have proprietary algorithms, just made a website and try to capitalize on the hype. But without deep technology knowledge, market knowledge, customer knowledge, this company has just disappeared. For example, they could have changed it if they were focusing on a specific niche. For example, we are doing PDFs processing only for the insurance companies. We focus on the security. This is our specific documents that we process. Of course, this kind of application is much more specific, and it's even less about technology, more about domain knowledge, about the insurance knowledge. I'm sure this kind of companies are surviving. So this is the main threat, confusing on what level you actually are and going into competition where you're not ready to compete.
So it sounds like having proprietary data and models is important. And the second thing is being like super niche focused rather than offering solutions for industry agnostic.
I would say you can do industry agnostic, but you need to specialize in something. So it's a question more about how do you do business rather than how do you do technology. So because the paradigm of AI a couple of years ago, and this is what we at Neurons Lab, we saw a lot with our clients. Our clients were developing older models from scratch. So there were no GPT models, there were no others. You had to bring PhDs, many data scientists or scientists in general to create AI. And it was a mod. So basically you could say, look, I have a proprietary technology. It's my IP, my code, my data, etc. Right now, when you bring a solution from open source or from Amazon, from any other cloud provider, everyone knows that it's not proprietary. It's like you don't really own the technology. It's not unique. You might own unique data, which can be one kind of mod, or what is better to own is the distributions and business expertise. So if you have access to some insurance companies, if you really understand their pain points, this is becoming much more important than just writing prompts to any language model you like.
So it's becoming more about business understanding rather than technology itself. How do you mitigate this risk with our clients at Neurons Lab?
First of all, we have a service called AI Design Sprint. So before we do any kind of engagement, we try to understand really deeply if what we are planning to build will impact the business positively. And sometimes with some customers who are a little bit more mature, they already come in together with the metrics, with the plan. They analyze competitors, they analyze alternative solutions, and they say, look, this is our business process, this is our product, we want to optimize this metric, but we don't know how to tune the technology, how to build the technology. This is a good case. Sometimes the clients are coming and saying, look, we want to build something with generative AI, we saw this kind of chatbot, but they don't have clear vision on the metrics, on the competitors, what are the alternative solutions. Maybe they don't need AI at all, which also can be the case. Maybe it's cheaper for them just to use workforce in locations where it's cheap, which also can be true. So during this design sprint, 2 weeks, we help our clients to understand and tune their case much better. And as the end result, we either can have a good business case that we can implement together, or for example, there can be alternative way to solve their business problem with AI or without AI.
What should our audience be doing right now to bring generative AI to their organizations? Because this is something you mentioned as well. There is so much noise out there and so much hype around it. How do you cut through and make a solid start?
I think also when they begin, I brought this spectrum because it's important to structure your knowledge and structure your strategy. Because if you're just like experimenting without a clear roadmap, a clear idea about what you're doing, you're doomed to just be lost, most probably, unless you're really creative and you strive in this house, which is can be true, but might be not. So that's why going step by step is usually a strategy that will not fail on you. You will not fail if you introduce some AI tool to your teammates, to your employees, and ask them to use some chatbot for some tasks that, let's say, are not required, don't require security. You are going to benefit really easily from this. As the next stage, you see that your teammates already know how to use this, they're used to this. Okay, so here's the next step. You can use AI for the data that is secure. So yeah, you might need to do a little bit more work. You need to use not proprietary model, but model hosted on your server, is the data on your server, so you need some cloud infrastructure. But this is, let's say, it's not rocket science. Many companies, including us, that can help you with this. Then you build it. Okay, the next step, you see that it's hard to achieve some metrics now. You need to really tune your model with your data to your metrics. This is already becoming a little bit closer to rocket science. This is where you actually need data scientists to prepare the data, clean the data, build the pipeline, retrain the models, evaluate them, deploy them to pipeline, run A-B tests. So this is already becoming a bit more scientific engineering process, and we are happy to help you with this. But again, you can start from the step one and build your knowledge, your understanding, and improve your business in a much easier way as well.
Well, thank you, Alex. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'm sure we'll learn a lot.
Thank you for inviting, Sasha.